Somebody asked me about my socks, and so I just want to show you my socks. It may be funny that I could just do that, okay? I didn't split my pants, all right, if you were wondering, all right? That was the pulpit that made that noise, but I appreciate the fellow that was wearing his funny socks, all right? And so men don't really get much, personality, all right? You got a black suit, blue suit, gray suit, okay? You get, white shirts or blue shirts usually it's a tie is really all the personality you get and socks. And so, some of you are still looking at me like I'm wearing my black socks, all right, or my blue socks. And so, there are some personality socks out there, all right? And some of you are like, that is my personality, all right? Well, okay, all right. But it's good to see you laugh in church, amen? You can have fun at church. It's all right. It's not against the law. Even in the Old Testament, there was laughter in the Old Testament, all right? And so it's good. But Ephesians chapter 4, I want to help you. I'm going to be very transparent, probably more than I should. That sometimes is a weakness of mine. I'm going to be a little transparent with you. And I'm going to give you a message that helped me. Okay, usually those are the best ones. Yeah. Usually if they help us, they help, as preachers, if they help us, they help somebody else. And so Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20, all right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20. And if you find it, if you're able, would you stand with me as we read? Just stretch your legs. If you want to come up and put your leg on the pulpit, you can. That was a good stretch. I might have tore my quad. I'm just kidding. All right, verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. But you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now I'm going to come back, and I'm going to preach on a passage later on, but I'm going to stop and pray right here, but we're going to finish out the chapter in the sermon, okay? But I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'll give you the title of the message in just a minute. All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of mind. I pray I be a help. I don't just want to tell a sympathy story or get sympathy, but Lord, I want to relate. And Lord, I believe I can. I believe all of us understand and have been through, Lord, what we're going to talk about tonight, or maybe even are going through it. But Lord, I pray that this truth would help us not just to continue to hang on to that, but Lord, to go ahead and to get help spiritually and scripturally with that problem. Lord, I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And the context of the scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 through 24 is basically putting off the old man, putting on the new man. You remember when you first got saved? When you were, such were some of you, and you began that transformation process. You probably didn't look like you look tonight. Probably didn't dress the way you dress tonight. You probably didn't do the things you do today. But slowly you began to put off the old man and say no to the flesh and put on the new man and say yes to the spirit. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Now, maybe you weren't the transformation Brother Dallas went through, but you should have some sort of transformation. Something as big as Jesus moves in, things ought to change a little bit. All right. But do you remember the day when you got saved? You remember when you walked the aisle and somebody took the Bible and they showed you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? And maybe that worker with the Bible showed you that whosoever verse and you got baptized? How many of y'all remember that day? How many of y'all remember what I'm talking about, all right? If you've never been saved, tonight's a good night to do it, all right? But you got saved You got baptized, and then they took you to that little room and they set you down and they said, now, somebody's going to hurt you. People's going to make you mad. People's going to do you wrong. People's going to say mean things about you. People are going to talk behind your back. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to take advantage of you. People are going to think less of you than they should. People are not going to value you. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to lie to you. People are going to try to ruin your testimony. How many of y'all remember that? They took you in that room and said that to you after you got saved and baptized. They don't do that, do they? Most churches, they don't tell you that. They encourage you to put off the old man and put on the new man. But they don't necessarily warn you that not everybody lives in this building in the new man. Let's keep reading in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. See that in your Bible? Now, we like that if you've been in church for any bit of time. We always quote the first part, be ye angry. Because we love us some righteous indignation. All right? Well, the Bible says, be ye angry. But that's not all the Bible says. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, anger is not a sin. It's what you do with the anger that causes a sin. But anger is one of the most dangerous sins because it leads to so many other sins. What is anger? Anger is a violent passion of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury, usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance. Anybody here ever been angry? Okay. Oh, anybody here ever lied? I was asking for those who didn't raise their hand when they were angry. Some of us handle our anger by corking it under a calm exterior and being quiet. I'll be honest, that's how I used to do it. It used to take a lot to get me to my boiling point. Then I had two kids. It seems the older I get, the shorter my fuse. Anybody else like that? It used to take so much, now so little. Some people, they don't cork it, they spout off. Sometimes even with physical reaction. Some turn red in the face and tremble. You can tell when they get mad. They're like a thermometer. It starts here and it just starts getting red. And they're mad. You can tell. Some become quiet. Some become loud. Some withdraw to a room or to a device or to a habit or to a vice. Some suffer from blood pressure, heart attack, and depression. Told you it was dangerous to be mad all the time. Okay, not just spiritually, but physically. It's not good for your health. This sounds like a dangerous thing to mess with. So I'm going to talk to you about anger. Now let me tell you the premise of the message. Okay. This is the part I probably shouldn't do. But who cares? So I went to this church, and let me just tell you, there's no hurt like church hurt. There's no anger like church anger. It's almost like being angry at your in-laws. Anybody ever been angry at your in-laws? Anybody ever lied? When you get angry at your in-laws, if it happens to happen right before Thanksgiving or Christmas, it makes things awkward, right? Church anger or church hurt makes things awkward. Because we're members one of another. It's like your toe being mad at your hand. So anyway, I was going to pastor this church. And I went down to pastor the church. Everything seemed like it was going to work out great. The deacons voted me in as pastor or unanimous for me to come and to candidate. I candidated. It didn't work out. The people didn't want me to come. Based on a lot of false premises, things were said that were false. Things that were done were false. But regardless of that being said, they just didn't want me to come be the pastor. Well, in the whole process of things, I thought I was going to be the pastor. So you know what I did? I resigned being the youth pastor. Because I thought I was going to go be a pastor. So then I find out I'm not going to be the pastor. And when I found out why, it's not because, well, we're going liberal, or it's because there was some this and that. Anyway, I was mad, angry, hurt, discouraged, all those emotions, all those feelings, whatever you want to say. Not at God, at people, church people, good people who did wrong, some of them. Me being angry wasn't wrong because I was wronged. But what I do with that anger can be very wrong. Here's the sermon. Number one. I got to get to number six really fast. Number one. Ready? Number one. The expectation of anger. Here's what the Bible says. Be ye angry. You know what that means? It doesn't mean walk around angry all the time. Okay. Well, the Bible says be angry, so I'm just going to be mad all the time and I'm going to have a bad spirit. That's not what the Bible says. Be angry is saying when you get angry, because you're going to get angry. There are going to be things in this world full of people who haven't yet put on the new man or who forget to put on the new man and walk around in their old man, even though they're in church and they make you mad. You're going to get angry. Be ye angry. You will get angry. Mark it down. Circle it. You're going to get mad at somebody. It may be somebody you're sitting beside on the plane on a Sunday, or you're flying to preach. I'm just saying. You're going to get mad. You're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get angry. Number two, let me say this, the limitation of anger. Here's what the Bible says. Be ye angry, sin not. Meaning you have to put a lid or a limit on that anger. It is up to you to make sure your anger does not grow. It's completely up to you. Because if you don't, here's what happens. Look at verse 29. We'll come back to the other parts, but look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I hope this isn't the case, but some of you, when you get angry, you curse. That's sinning with your anger. This is my words. They are unedifying. They are ungraceful. When I curse or gossip or am mean or hateful or hurtful or jealous or judgmental with my words because of anger, my anger has then leaked over to sinning and I did not limit my anger and it became a sin. Young people, when you get mad at your parents, you get angry because they said no. It's not wrong that you got upset at the answer. Well, I really wanted to go swimming. Oh, I wish they would have said yes. Nothing wrong with that. You know what's wrong? When that anger turns into, you never say yes, you always say no. I can't stand living here. I hate you. That's when it's bad. That's when that anger becomes sin. When you roll your eyes or slam your door, that anger then has leaked over to words of unedifying and hurtful words. Then verse 30, here's what the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now this verse comes in this series and in this context. We take it out of context and we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit with so many other things, and that's not a bad application. But listen, here it's talking about me grieving the Holy Spirit with a misapplication of my anger. I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can wound the Holy Spirit with my anger. Why? Because anger wounds the fruit of the Spirit. You ever take a watermelon and thump it? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, thumping the watermelon? You thump it to see if it's any good? I found out, y'all know the trick about the two fingers, you know? Y'all know that? The two finger trick? Y'all know that too? You just like poke it. And then you taste it. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, oh, I'm going to write that one down. That's really good. No, if you measure the green stripes on it and they're two fingers wide, it's a good watermelon. Hey, listen, you learn a lot at church, I'm just saying. It's good stuff. But listen, when you thump that watermelon's still good. If you hit that watermelon with a sledgehammer, that watermelon ain't any good anymore. And you know what anger does to the fruit of the Spirit? It wounds the fruit of the Spirit like love. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit. Anger wounds the fruit of the Spirit like love. When I'm angry at somebody, it's hard to say, hey, husbands, wives, leaving for work, I love you. You with me? I know you're with me. Anger wounds joy. Anger wounds peace. Anger wounds long-suffering. Anger wounds patience and gentleness and meekness and kindness. Verse number 31, not only my words, not only do I wound the Holy Spirit, but verse number 31 talks about wickedness. Look at all that anger if it's not limited. If I don't put a lid or a limit, a limitation on anger, look what it can become. Verse 31, let all bitterness. This is a grudge or hatred or reproach. These are those hurt feelings, that unforgiveness, that anger. When I deny myself the opportunity to deal with that anger, it can become bitterness. This is anger from 3 weeks ago that you still haven't dealt with. And now it's sour and infected and gross and in your heart. And yet we sit with the same people in the same room that we're angry at and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Then it says wrath. Look, still in verse 31, let all bitterness and then wrath. What is wrath? Violent anger. These are those temper tantrums. You say, oh, we're not children. I know. I'm talking to adults. We got back from our vacation to California. I had 4 50-pound suitcases to carry up the stairs. Once again, going to get very transparent. I did not want to carry those suitcases upstairs. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't carry them up the stairs. The next morning, I had to go pick up something from the airport that we forgot. We get ready to go to the airport. Before I go to the airport, my wife starts wheeling those suitcases over to the stairs. You know, like a subtle hint. Hey, these need to go upstairs, buddy, before you leave, because I ain't about to carry them up the stairs. And so what I did, I said, honey, let me carry these for you up the stairs. I'm so sorry, I almost forgot this. Let me grab these and carry them for you. I love you, baby. No, I didn't say that. I said, here, let me get these 50-pound suitcases and carry all 4 of them up the stairs. He said, did you really say that? Yes, I did. I was tired and jet-lagged from California. I didn't even want to go to the airport to get something that we forgot. And I dead sure didn't want to carry 200 pounds worth of suitcases up the stairs. That's wrath. That's a temper tantrum. That's storming off. That's throwing things. Hopefully you don't do that. You say, that's children. No, that's adults. Clamor. What is clamor? Clamor is when we have loud, repeated words or arguments. This is disagreements where we yell and fight. Now, hopefully I'm not just talking to married couples, okay? But I'm talking about when you and somebody else disagree and you're angry and you begin to raise your voices and you yell and scream and argue in a disagreement. That is anger becoming sin. The Bible calls it clamor, especially when you repeat yourself. You ever be in an argument and they're not hearing what you're saying, so you repeat it, and you repeat it louder and meaner, and maybe you add a few things to it so that they get the point? That's clamor. Then it says evil speaking. Anger, if not limited, can become evil speaking. What is that? That's defamation or slander. This is where we start name calling. Gossip. Saying mean and hurtful and bad things about someone. Being mad at them didn't solve it in our heart, and so thus we got to say bad things. This is when we call, I'm mad at you, and being mad at you did not make me happy. So I call you, and I tell you how bad he is. And that makes me feel a little better, because now you don't like him. That's evil speaking. Where is that born from? Anger. Unresolved, undealt with anger. Then the Bible says malice. Malice is extreme ill will. This is where we desire to injure someone. Physically hurting somebody. Violence. Murder. Well, I would never. Yeah, that's what most of them probably said before they didn't deal with their anger. Number three, let me say this, the duration of our anger. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. How many of y'all have ever heard, now don't go to bed mad. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Your grandparents or your parents said that to you? Don't go to bed mad. Don't hold on to the anger. You know why? Because it will turn into wrath or bitterness or malice. If you let it, if you go to sleep and if you stay mad at somebody for a week or 2 days or 3 days, well, next time I talk to him, I'll do it. No, go see him. Get it solved. Don't go to bed mad. Why? Because if it has time to simmer and to set, it'll infect. And it don't infect or affect them. It infects and affects you. Your joy, your love, your peace, yours. Number four, the administration of anger. Oh, listen to me on this one. Please listen to this. Listen to this one. Verse number 27. Neither give place to who? Yeah. Do you know who your real enemy is? Not sister so-and-so. Not brother so-and-so. Not your in-laws. Okay, maybe your mother-in-law. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My mother-in-law is probably watching this. That's why I said that. Listen, not your pastor. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your boss. Do you know who the real enemy is that wants you so mad that you don't have any love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, kindness, faith? The devil. Did the person that said something or did something to you mean it? I don't know. Will they ever apologize? I don't know. You can stand around waiting for them to, meanwhile becoming bitter and angry and mean and hateful, or you can remember the devil's the one after you, the devil's the one that hates you, the devil's the one that if you're saved can't make you go to hell, but lives to make your life a living hell here on earth. He wants to wreck and ruin your life here on earth. Number five, let me say this. There is a variation in anger. Look at verse number 28. We're to be different. If you're here and you're saved, Here's what it says. Let him that steals steal no more. I'm like, wait a minute. You're not even talking about stealing. What does that have to deal with? Or what does that have to do with anything? What he's saying here is that our lives should be different. You say, well, I've always been an angry man. Okay, that was the old man. Well, I just always flew off the handle. I'm just like my mother. That was the old lady. You got a new man and a new lady inside of you. And if you are to vary that anger, we're to be new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're not of the world. We're not of the old man anymore. He's to be put away. We're to be like the new man. We're not to live in anger. Your home's not supposed to be an angry place. Your job's not supposed to be an angry place. Your church not supposed to be an angry place. Your heart not supposed to be an angry place. So what do you do? Point number 6. The prescription for anger. Look at verse 32. I'll give it to you quick. If you're here and you're mad, you're angry, you're hurt. I've been there. I came here. I preached here. Hurt. I walked out on that platform up there at our church and I sat there and I listened and I was in my place and I was faithful. I was a husband. I was a preacher. I was a staff member and I did everything I was supposed to do. And I think I handled my anger pretty good. But I ain't gonna lie, there was a couple times where I had to cut off some gangrene because it started to get bitter. And if you're here and you're mad, or you're angry, or you're hurt, or you're offended at somebody in the church, or somebody at work, or a husband, wife, or your in-laws, or it doesn't matter who it is, it's hurting you way more than it's hurting them. So how do you fix it? Number one, kindness. Verse 32, and be ye kind. Kindness is goodwill. Be kind. It's hard to be mad and kind at the same time. Now, it's possible, but it's hard. Here. I got this for you. I bought this for you. Number two, closeness. Be ye kind one to another. You know what that means? Not this. Hey guys, you guys look nice. That's corporate. I like that tie, man. That's sharp. One another. That means not husbands and wives talking at the table with the kids all together having conversation. It means husbands and wives having a conversation by themselves. It means you and your boss not having a staff meeting with all the other people there. It means you and your boss having a conversation and you all getting real about your anger. It means you and your in-laws. It means whoever you're mad at, you and somebody in the church, whoever it is, having that conversation and one another, being close to one another between you and the one that hurt you. Number three, tenderness. The Bible says this, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is the opposite of hard-hearted. When we're angry for so long, we come to church hard-hearted. We ought to be soft and pliable, not past feeling. We ought to have pity and empathy towards the people that we love. And when we're angry, we don't. I don't care how you feel if I'm mad at you. That's why we say things we don't mean. And we hurt the people we're mad at. Number four, forgiveness. Kindness, closeness, tenderness. Number four, forgiveness. The Bible says this, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know what forgiveness is? Forth giving. Putting it away. Letting it go. He said, that's impossible. Not if you want to be like Jesus. Not if you don't want to be angry. And in number six, godliness. Number five, I guess. Number five, godliness. Look what it says. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The reason we forgive is not because we're perfect. Everybody look up here. You know I'm not perfect now because I just let you in on my life, okay? Ministry problems, marital problems. I mean, man, it's all, I'm just kidding. I'm being real with you tonight. I'm normal. Okay? The reason we forgive is not because we're perfect. It's not because the other person is perfect. It's because Jesus died for us. And he was perfect. And God forgave us because of Jesus. When I forgive someone else because of Jesus, that is true godliness. Did you hear what I just said? You want to be godly? When I forgive someone else because of Jesus, that's true godliness at work. Well, they don't deserve it. Neither did I. That's true godliness. Who's that person you're angry with? Why not get some help? Why keep carrying around that anger? Why not decide to live in love, joy, and peace? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you angry? Are you hurt? Are you offended? Are you bothered? Are you disappointed? Has it already turned to bitterness or evil speaking or wrath or malice? Get victory over anger tonight. Kindness, closeness, tenderness, forgiveness, godliness. Wonder who would be here and say, Brother Davis, I need that message. Maybe it's somebody, maybe you're angry or upset or hurt or bothered at somebody here. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody at home. Maybe it's somebody in your family. You don't have to tell me who. You tell God who, and you tell them. But say, Brother Davis, I needed that message. I don't want my anger to turn into bitterness. I don't want my anger to become sin. Or if it already has, you say, I need help, Brother Davis, please pray for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. I want to pray for you. God sees those hands. I appreciate it. I appreciate your honesty. I tried to be real with you. I appreciate you being real with me. Thank you very much. Listen, let's all stand to our feet. She's going to play. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and do business with Him? Why don't you come and get some help for that anger?